Welcome back to the Down to Earth podcast. Life has its ups and downs, and we often allow external circumstances to influence how we feel. However, true freedom and power comes from relying on ourselves. Today, we're thrilled to be joined by the one and only Caroline Bodino. Caroline is the founder of Being Caroline, a life and style blog, and Shop with Caroline, a destination for women who have an appreciation for fashion and style, as well as a place to talk about the peaks and valleys of being a mom, wife, caregiver, and business owner. Caroline reminds us that it's never too late to become what we might have been and to always choose happy. Here we go.
Welcome to the Down to Earth podcast.
We're your hosts, sibling duo, Jonathan and Lorena.
In this podcast, we'll be spilling the tea on all things health and wellness related.
This podcast is designed to motivate you to take care of your physical, mental, and spiritual health.
We'll be bringing on doctors, healers, fitness experts, business leaders, and innovators.
Thanks for joining us in our mission of making the world a healthier, happier, and a more down-to-earth place. Here we go.
Hey, Caroline, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us.
I am so happy to be here, honored and flattered. So thank you.
Well, we're honored to have you here as well. My sister, Lorena, who's here, and my mom have been huge fans of yours for such a long time, and they put me onto your page and your work and really feel so inspired and empowered by you. So we're super excited to have you on today.
I can't, you know what makes me the happiest is that it's a mother-daughter. Like the fact that it's two different age groups, honestly, is the, you know, that's honestly what's most important to me is that you're reaching women in all different stages of their life and resonating in some way about making themselves a priority. Cause that could be at 20. I've got high school girls that are having a hard time recognizing themselves in the mirror and feeling nervous, you know, and you know, high school, it's tough and you really can not like what you see in the mirror and that can play a lot of games. So it's amazing. It's from 15 to a 79-year-old grandma that's telling me she got her mojo back. So it has been, that's what has been so powerful and amazing is that you can reach so many different ages and different times in your life. So just to hear that melts my heart. So thank you guys for following. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Well, I would love to get started by learning a little bit more about your background because I know you've had quite a journey and a lot of your wisdom comes from experience. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Of course. So I was born and raised in New York City. I'm in the big city, the Big Apple, and my parents are Latino. They're Cuban and Venezuelan. So I'm first generation here. And it was a very different experience for me because I didn't have parents culturally understanding, you know, what goes on in school. And I was very Americanized and they were very culturally Hispanic. You know what I mean? And it was interesting growing up, I was always battling the stereotype, you know, with my parents. My parents constantly, my mom was constantly telling me to get married and to have kids. And look pretty because you got to find marry. It was never go to school, you know, never be the CEO. It was marry the CEO. So it's funny. I was always battling that. So it's been something in me, I think, since I was born that I always wanted to be very independent. I didn't like what I watched at home. And I'm not trying to throw my parents under the bus. But the truth is, you know, they came to this country. My dad became very successful. We grew up in the Latin, you know, Latin television business. And, you know, he got carried away. Let's just be honest. And it was a really hard time for my mom. And I watched my mom gave away her power. I watched her give away all her control because she felt she couldn't get out or she had no other options because of money. So very early on, I understood that money doesn't buy happiness. It doesn't buy respect and it doesn't buy you time. It doesn't buy anything you actually really want and need. And watching my mom never have an option, it fueled a fire in me. I was like, you know, I want to be independent. I want to know I can take care of myself. I want to know. So I went to college. I went to GW. I got my degree in psychology. I got accepted to NYU. I turned it down for my master's to go to acting school because I always loved, my dad was an actor. You know, we grew up in the television industry. So I've always loved the camera, the TV, the movies. I love being able to live in different time zones. You know what I mean? I always like loved the whole story. So I went to acting school. Very long story short, I fell into the same trap. My parents kept pressuring me and I got engaged to the Wall Street tycoon. And I was a shell of myself. That's the truth. I realized I didn't have an opinion. I realized I was always walking on eggshells. I realized I was always like nervous that, you know what I mean? Like what's going to happen? You know, you could always have it all taken away from you. And I was like, what am I doing? Called off the wedding like a complete lunatic. My parents had a nervous breakdown. And I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm going to bet on me. So I took off. Needless to say, I shot this, you know, soap opera. I came out to LA on my own. I was very independent. My parents always thought I was crazy, and I was always wanting to just live my best life. And came out to LA and very quickly learned that it's a very tough, you know, it's a tough existence here. It's not always easy. Acting world is really ugly and dirty. And I realized that's really not me. And that's not my personality. I really like being positive. I've always liked being happy and smiling and around really nice, good people. And I realized it was a really ugly industry a little bit, you know, and unfortunately I was like, it just didn't feel good. So I was single. I didn't really want to get married. And next thing you know, I meet my husband. He just comes out of nowhere. I'm 32 years old. I was like, never getting married. I'm going to live my best life. Cut to, I'm married with two kids back to back. I had a two-year-old and another baby. And I found myself at 40. I had kids at 38 and 40. And I found myself around 45, 46, literally not recognizing myself. I was like, I had literally fallen into the trap that I swore I would never do. I did not understand the responsibility of children. I didn't understand how overwhelmed you would be. I didn't understand how exhausted and how, you know, what a sacrifice. And no one really talks about the hard. Everyone just tells you, you should have kids. It's amazing. And no one tells you the work behind it and the responsibility behind it and how easily, especially a woman and a mom, can lose herself because you really are the one splitting everything up. Because the man, of course, he's providing and he goes to work. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you're overweight, you're sitting around, you're just going to pick up and drop off. All of a sudden the monotony, you feel like a robot, like a zombie. Like, and I had him back to back and I just was like, what is happening? Find my dad. I get a call. My mom's hysterical. My dad has Alzheimer's and she has a nervous breakdown. And all of a sudden I had two little kids, my elderly parents, hysterical, like didn't know what to do across the country. My husband traveling constantly for work. I had zero help. I was like, I walked past the mirror and I was like, who is that? I was like, who is that? I was like, I don't even recognize myself. I was like, what are you? What is happening? I was like, where's Caroline? Like, where's that happy, smiling, positive, independent, making her own money? You know, I was like, where's happy Caroline? And I was like, that's it. I was like, that's it. Watching my mom not know how to do anything. I was like, I don't want to be that person. I'm not going to depend on a man. And then at 84, not know how to do a single thing. I was like, absolutely not. And then I realized, I was like, wait, I'm depending on John. I'm not working. I'm not making money. I'm asking permission to buy something. I'm like, no, 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 that doesn't work for me. I was like, no, no. I was like, that's it. I literally was like, John, get it together. I was like, things are going to change around here. I was like, you're going to help me. You're going to start doing half the work and drop off and pick. I was like, and I'm going to find myself again. I was like, I have to do something. I have to use my brain. I was like, these kids are going to graduate. They're going to move on and live their best lives. And what am I going to do? Sit on the couch and stare at a white wall till I die? No, I'm not going to shop all. I mean, what can you do? So I was like, I could have 40, 50 years left. I still could live my best life. I was like, I have a second chance. I was like, what am I doing? And that was it. And I literally, that's where this all started.
And I think it's so inspiring to so many women, especially any woman, but especially in your 40s, you think once I already have kids, that's it. Like, this is my path. And even like you said, you're like, I still have 50, 60 years left. A lot of people in their 50s, 60s are like, oh, I only have this amount of time left. So the fact that your mindset was even like, I have so many years left. I still have so many opportunities ahead of me. And to be able to do that, despite all of the obstacles that you kind of faced and saw that your mom faced, is very profound and very impactful.
And I do think it resonates with so many women, because I think so many women are sitting at home. They're being told what is supposed to make them happy. You know, you're told, and you're not allowed to say if you're unhappy, because then you're crazy, because, well, how could you be unhappy if you have, I mean, literally yesterday, someone told me I wasn't allowed to be unhappy because I had a cute husband and in a car. And I was like, I'm not allowed to have any feelings because you think I have it all. You know what I mean? I was like, and that's the problem. We keep silencing women, especially middle age. And right now the highest suicide rate is midlife, middle-aged women, because they can't take anymore. You know, there is a point where, yes, you can't do it all for everyone and do nothing for yourself. It's not fair. That's not the way it was supposed to be. I was like, I didn't get married to be your slave. I got married to have a partner and a teammate so that we both raise two beautiful kids and then we both get to live out our best lives. This isn't all about you. This is also about me. And that's why I always say, like, I want you to be happy. I want my kids to be happy, but I want to be happy too.
Right.
You know, it's only fair.
Yes, I agree. How did your husband initially react to you saying that? Because you took on this more so traditional role, taking care of the kids, taking care of the house, he's traveling for work. And then all of a sudden you kind of have this like epiphany and you're like, we need to prioritize and shift roles a little bit. How did he react to that?
You know what's funny with John, and I said this is why I think it's so important to marry and to wait and live your life and figure out who you are and make sure that this person fits into your life, not you fitting into their life. Like, you make sure you like them, not do they like you. Do you like them? Do they help you? Are they positive? Are they kind? Do they want to see you win? And at the end of the day, when I married John, we've had to struggle. We've had to work to have every single thing we've had. I did not marry the rich guy. I married the young guy that just graduated, you know, school. But I realized he was the nicest, the most honest. And I don't think there hasn't been a day that has gone by that he wasn't constantly being like, you could do something. Like, you're really smart. Like, he'd be like, okay, I mean, don't do it if you don't want to. Like, he was like, happy if you want to stay home and be with the kids, but you're really smart. Like, you should be doing something. And he would always, and it was like always in my ear, like, you know, and so when I came to him, I was like, you know what? I got to do something. Like, this is not me. And he's like, I've been telling you this for years. And he was like, what do you need from me? And I was like, I need you to help me. I need help with the kids. I need help to be able to, you know, do whatever it is that I'm doing. And he really was like, if this makes you happy, then you need to do it. And that's where you have to want to see each other win and help each other win. There's a difference. And I think a lot of couples are, it's all about one, or it's competing. And it's like forgetting that you should want to help somebody win that you love. Like, wouldn't you want to see them happy? And John was like, I want to see you smiling. Like I said, my kids, they'd rather see me less, but super happy and positive and smiling than me the way I was 24/7 at school. I hated it. Hated volunteering, hated all the moms, hated all the gossip, hated all the bullshit, to be honest with you. It was not me. Hate women talking about women, hate the snippy, keeping up with the Joneses. Like, I hated all of that. I was like, I want to talk business. I want to talk smart. You know, I want to talk about things, future goals. So it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, this, you're right. This doesn't make me happy. And I know you would rather have me happy. And I know my husband benefits when I'm happy. My kids benefit when I'm happy. Everybody benefits when I'm happy. So why wouldn't you want to do whatever it takes to make sure I'm happy?
100%. It also sounds like he saw so much potential in you, and you also saw that within yourself. And I feel like we're all born, right, with certain skill sets, certain callings. We all have, most people, I think, live life without fully maximizing their potential. And absolutely, when you have that burning desire of like, I know there's more that I could do, you almost feel like you're letting yourself down by not doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was like, bet on you is the best bet you will ever make. And I literally today was on stories talking. I said, today was like a day that I got in the car genuinely. And I know you guys understand this. Like, I got in the car, the music was blasting, you know, you just feel good. And I just felt like, I was like, I feel like Caroline again. Like, it was that day that I was like, I brought her back. I was like, the best version of me, I got her back. And I think a lot of women, we repress, we push down our goals, our needs, our wants, you know, we let ourselves go. Like, we're dealing with the kids. Like, you see a mom running around, like the hair's crazy. The husband's drinking coffee, reading a paper, and the woman's running around like a lunatic, doesn't have a second for herself. And you're like, that's just not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I was like, at the end of the day, the most successful marriages that I've seen, I'm 51. I've been around the block. I've seen a lot. And I've seen now it's all a lot of divorces. And you see, it's respect and wanting to see each other win. And communication. That is like, that's the key. You're not going to be dead in love the rest of your life. You're not. Everybody, you know, we all move on. We all grow. And it's about, if you can grow together and you can evolve together and you both want to grow, you'll make it. You'll make it. And you need to be with a partner who sees your potential. You know, and I see women, they're like, the husband tells her she's stupid, or the husband tells her she can't. I'm like, why would you ever marry someone who thinks you're stupid? Like, what? So I think, you know what I mean? It really is this weird dynamic between men and women, this weird like power struggle. And I'm like, I think middle-aged women are starting to get their mojo back. And I think if I have anything to do with it, I will not stop until I see every mom and every woman looking fabulous, feeling fabulous, and having power. Like, we have power.
And it does seem, thankfully, like there has been a shift. I mean, we grew up in a culture that also has more like old-fashioned type rules and ways of living. And now with like the way the world has evolved, you see a lot of like even family friends of ours. And there is this shift where, you know, a lot of women, thankfully, now feel like there's more that they want out of life. And I think recognizing that is the first step. But then I think taking action and figuring out what to do with that could be confusing and overwhelming for a lot of people. So once you realized that there's more that I want to do, maybe I don't know exactly what that is yet, but there's something more out there. What were the next steps, or what are some tips that you might have for somebody who feels like they want to do something more with their lives?
You know, it's funny for me, it really was the awareness. I think you're right. You nailed it. Awareness is the first thing, you know, and it was that's looking in the mirror. And I say, the reason I always tell people to look in the mirror is because we avoid the mirror. We avoid our reflection. And there's a reason you avoid it, because you don't want to see the truth. And how you look really says everything about how you feel. Like, it just does. And I think a lot of the times we don't want to look, we don't want to face it, because we don't want to have to put in the hard work. We don't want to have to deal. So it's an easier excuse to just not look. You don't know what's going on. You just pretend that you're fine when you're not. And for me, I think the awareness is number one, taking that time to look in the mirror. And it's like, are you happy? Like, look at that reflection. That's the knight in shining armor coming to save you. That's your superhero. How do you want your superhero to look? I was like, so the person coming to save you looks like complete shit and a hot mess. Are you sure that's who you want coming to save you? So it's like, yes, you need to really recognize what's going on and how you're feeling. And for me, taking action was my happy tools. I know it's like, I say that, but it's true. It's like finding that little toolbox that you have that you know you can tap into every day to kind of revert back. You know, we can all of a sudden feel a little edgy, anxious, this, you know, we have phone calls coming in, a lot's happening. And it's always about, how can you regain that control? How can you regain that happiness? Because my husband and I always say is choose happy, no matter what the situation. So if you're looking at it, that's the perspective we want to have, is to choose happy. And I think those happy tools are so important for everyone to start tapping into and start understanding who and what makes you feel good. Genuinely, we know the people that don't make us feel good, and we ignore signs. We ignore it. You know what I mean? Because whether they're cool or they're popular, you think we're going to get something out of it or whatever it is. But be around people who are really nice to you. Start there. Like, start hanging out with those people who are positive, who are doing things, you know, start talking ideas. I started taking, you know, it's like, remember what you used to do when you felt really happy and when you felt your best. I was like, I used to play tennis. I was like, when did I stop playing tennis? Because I had kids and I got married. Why would I not play tennis? So I was like, I'm starting to play tennis again. So literally those little things that I was like, who was I before life took me down? I'm going to bring those things back. And I'm going to start remembering who I am. I'm going to start remembering what I love. Like, I started to dress like the way I like to dress, not like a mom, not like a hot mess, but like, yeah, I'm going to wear my great clothes. I'm going to throw all my jewelry on because it makes me happy. You know, it's like those little, once you start finding those little steps and you start feeling that little bit like, oh, you start finding that little pep in your step, the next thing comes. And I think finding your passion comes by doing things and trying things and being around people that are similar to you, have similar interests and likes, and are doing things. Cause like, this took off, but there were a lot of steps before this, and it was trying different things and meeting different people and working. And then you kind of start to figure out, I started with just taking a picture of the clothes, cause everyone just asked me about my clothes. The motivation stuff came during COVID, when everybody was locked away and I just was feeling just so much. And I don't know what possessed me to get on stories and tell my entire life. Like, people were like, I cannot believe you just said that. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it all. And that's where this path took off. So sometimes it's just about trying, just like do something, just start anywhere, start something, because usually whatever you start or you try, you'll find another path or something will become apparent to you. It just does.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think taking that first step, like you said, more opportunities open up. You're able to explore your interests. And I think just like spiritually, you're taking that first step. And I think the universe will kind of guide you to where
you take a chance. You know, it's like when you believe, because I always say getting up and getting dressed, it's never to impress. It's not to get compliments. Like, I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, honestly, it's not. It really is always about me reminding me that I'm important. Like, I'm going to make time for me to get ready, to get dressed, because it's my self-respect. It's my self-worth. This is how I feel good. So for me, it's really important and I'm important. So I make that, you know what I mean? I think it just signals your brain. When you get up and you make that time for yourself, you're telling yourself, because when you don't make any time for yourself, like you're running around, it's like, you're not important. And since when are we not important? We take care of everybody. The most important person is us. So we should feel our best. So I think it's really also just acknowledging that and taking those steps to do things that you used to love to do, or try something. Like, the things that you love could really be a job now. I said, people don't realize the internet. I can name 50 women-owned businesses, all that started from this, me talking and then us having conversations and then being like, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And they're all like, I can't even tell you the amount of women and women-owned businesses right now. So you can start anything you love to do and make it into a business. That's the positives of social media. Like, you can do whatever you want. You could sell whatever you want. You can make whatever you want. You can learn whatever you want. You can go back to school. Like, you can do whatever you want. I think that's where people don't realize.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, what interested you in fashion? Were you always interested as a child and then you maybe lost it a little bit and it came back, or where did that
I was always obsessed with fashion. Always, like, I probably should have had my own clothing line or something, you know, because I've always.
Still can, right? You never know.
Yeah, still can. I'm working on it. I'm working on a jewelry line right now. But you know what? It's true. It's like, I think I was born, honestly, with, like, I've always loved fashion, always loved jewelry. Even when I was young, I think I had a ring on every finger, and I'm not joking. Like, I need to get a photo of me when I was little, because I've always loved being dressed, looking good. My mom's influence a bit. My mom always has red lipstick on, always looks beautiful. And she was always like, you get dressed, you know, you don't look like a hot man. I mean, shit, that at my house, you are not walking out of the house ever not looking good. So I do think I got that from her, and realizing that I walk around a lot saying, you know, people get dressed and people really make an effort for what's important to them and for a special occasion. Like, you get ready, you will literally 2 days of prep for a hot date. You know what I mean? Like, you're going on vacation, you're getting nailed, you're doing everything. And if I told you your life was the special occasion, like, what if I just told you waking up every day is the special occasion? How would you prep for that? Do that every day. You're the special occasion. Like, you being alive is the special occasion. Like, what are you waiting for? What's everybody waiting for? So I think it's like, it start like the fashion was always like, I always liked to look good. Even in college, it was always dressed. I've never been in sweats or pajama bottoms or anything like that. Like, I was always well-dressed. And then I think the magazines, the fashion, like this, I don't know why, I've always loved it. And I think it just comes naturally, to be honest, because people are like, why aren't you a stylist? Or why don't you do that? I love clothes. I like dressing myself. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I like. I know what looks good. I can order anything. I know exactly how it's going to fit. Like, I've got an eye for myself. And I love mixing and matching. I like really classic with edge. You know what I mean? Like, a little edgy pieces or pops of color, but super classic. And I love jewelry. I love handbags. Like, I've always loved it all. I really have. Honestly, I think I was bored. We were laughing because my husband was like, you must've been bored. Like, I don't know. I must've been like Anna Wintour's daughter somewhere. I don't know.
It's very possible, because it's clear, like, you're lighting up when you talk about it. And I think the great thing about fashion is, if you really view it the right way, it's a way for you to really represent yourself, right? Represent the way that you feel, or at least the way you want to feel, right? Like, even if you're not there yet, if you know how you want to feel, the future self of you wants to feel, you could really get there through fashion and through the way that you present yourself. So there is a lot of power in it.
Yes, yeah. Dress the part. Absolutely. Like, would you ever walk into an important interview looking like shit?
Yeah.
Like, so why would you think anybody would hire you walking? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I always say, like, women hide when they see an ex-boyfriend at the market. I'm like, why? Why? So it's like, but if you actually made a little effort that morning, you might've walked up and been like, hey, look at me. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, it's always interesting that fashion is just an incredible tool. It's an incredible filter. You know, people want to add 20 filters, but it's like, just use a little makeup and a little clothes. And that's the filter right there. Like, you will zhuzh yourself up and look fabulous, and it can change your mood. Like, my mom the other day didn't have her red lipstick on, and I was really worried, to be honest with you. I was really worried, because I was like, she honestly looked like a wreck and didn't have her makeup on. And I was like, mom. And she's like, I'm really depressed. She wasn't feeling good. You know, I was like, mom, let's go. I was like, you got a shower. I want to see that red lipstick on. And she was like, you're right. I'm not dead yet. And it's like, to her, she's going to wear that damn red lipstick till she's dead. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, you don't, that's giving up. To her, if you don't get dressed every day, you're just giving up. And I'm like, you're right.
Because it does instill a sense of confidence. Like, we all have those days where we don't feel great, or we feel tired, and like, that excitement isn't there. But again, if you take a shower, put on some nice clothes, put on like a good fragrance, it does something to your mood. Like, it really could turn things around.
It does. Psychologically, I am telling you, it's something in your brain. And it is, when you, like, how you look directly affects how you feel, and then how you're going to go act.
And I remember, I don't know if it was on our podcast or in a book, I don't remember, but there was one guy who was telling a story. He didn't have a job. I believe he was homeless, but he got dressed in a suit every single day as if he was going to work.
Amazing. Do you remember that? For his own mental health, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, honestly, COVID, you guys, I'm not kidding. I was fully decked out, dressed every day with makeup on. I would wake up every single day. I would do a video on my computer, a workout video, because I was like, I'm not going to stop working out. And because I was like, and then everybody was making fun and being like, what are you doing? Like, it's COVID. You're crazy. And I was like, well, see, you're going to look like shit and be a hot mess when COVID ends. I was like, and I'm going to look fucking amazing. And I'm going to have all my shit together, and I'm going to be ready to get right back in. So what you decide, do you want to, so you're going to give up and let yourself go. So then how are you getting back? You think life's over? I was like, this is going to come. Hard times come. Life is really hard. You got to find your happy in the hard.
100%. We were all home during COVID, and I think we were like in the best shapes of our lives.
Yeah. We were doing cleanses, Peloton. We couldn't have been happier. We did great during COVID. And not to say, listen, I feel obviously horrible for any, But look, honestly, our mental health is because we kept our schedule. We stayed happy. We kept doing what we do, you know, whatever circumstance, we made it work and we stayed happy in it. And I'm sorry, there is something to that. There is.
100%. It's a choice. Like you said, choose happy. It's a choice. Yeah.
It's a choice every single morning. You can wake up and you can choose to be miserable and see the negative, or you can just choose to see the good and be happy and put a smile on. And I'm telling you, you put that smile begets a smile. It just does.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you knew you were interested in fashion. So how did you decide to make a career based on your passion?
You know, it really just fell into taking those photos, like when Instagram started and Facebook, all that. And like, people just starting to ask what you were wearing, you know, you're saying like, oh, where did you get that? Where did you link that? And I was like, okay, you know what? I probably could link it. I mean, why not? Like, I get dressed every day anyway. Why wouldn't I just take the photo and link it? Like, it's smart. I could maybe make some money. So that's where it kind of was like, oh, so then I kind of started there and we just started taking photos. And then I went, and then I moved it to the door. Cause then I was like, okay, let me get to, it's funny how it just evolves. And then you always think like, I can't even imagine doing anything else. And the next thing you know, you're doing 4 videos a day on 5 different platforms and you figure it out. Like, it's incredible how it just keeps evolving. And that's why when I say get started, my one stupid photo like this compared to what we film now, but we couldn't do what we're doing now without starting there. I would never have the knowledge, the experience. Like, we had to struggle and understand and learn so that we could actually kill it when it was time. Like when they say, you know, like LeBron, Lakers the other day, Lonnie, when he said he's been preparing and ready for that one time they're going to call you. And it's like, that's what life is. You need to be ready for when life calls on you and it's your time. And so I feel like I couldn't be more ready because we did all the work. That's the truth.
And I think it's also putting your ego aside. You know, like, it's not comfortable like taking a selfie and posting your clothes, but it's kind of not caring what other people think and just going with it and having that vision.
You got to humble yourself. You got to realize like everyone's super selfish and everyone's super self-absorbed. Nobody actually cares about you and no one's thinking about you. That's like the cellulite thing when women don't want to walk on the beach. I'm like, that's funny. You think everyone's staring at you. Like everyone's so absorbed in their own life and the guy they like, and no one called and da-da. No one's really looking, but it's all your own insecurity. And when I kind of understood that, it's funny. Now I walk down the beach, couldn't care. No one's looking at me. And I used to think everyone was looking. So it is that mindset. You know what I mean? That I always say, why not you? Like, you can do it. 100%. Why not you? If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. Anything is possible. And I feel like we do live in a world now where people sometimes have somebody that they look up to and they put them on a pedestal. And again, we all deserve accolades, right? There's people doing big things. Of course, you know, respect, but we often forget that like we also all have massive individual power and like anything's possible, right? It's never too late to be who you might've been. So you could always turn things around and who knows what you could still build in your life. So I think remembering that like you too have presence and power and like—
Yeah. And I think it's on social media. I think there is that little bit of jealousy or FOMO where people are like, oh, like, how come you have that? Or, you know, that's somebody being like, oh, you have a car and you have this, but it's like, no one notices the work that goes in. Nobody notices the sacrifice. No one knows it's been 10 years. You know what I mean? No one sees any of that. And I think people just kind of like, why not me? Why not me? And I'm like, why not you? Why not you?
Yeah.
Just change the intonation on that. And you change the entire perspective. So I'm like, 100%. You keep making yourself negative when, you know, I just took a phone and went like this. I didn't know how to work any. I had no idea how to work any kind of social media.
Yeah.
It was literally just taking one photo.
But you took action and most people don't.
And I learned and I read and I watched everybody else and I asked advice and I would text people and I would ask friends and I would ask, I mean, I would read every article, every new thing, started following people I was motivated by to see like, okay, how is this moving? Find the algorithms. Like, it's hard work, but the fact that I could figure that out at 50 and when I thought I knew nothing about technology, I would always be like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't know how to work. You know, we dumb down. We're always like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Oh, I know how to do it all. Like, I don't do it all. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like, can't believe I even thought. And I said the other day, I was like, my mom always thought she always says that she's dumb or she's doing. I'm like, every single decision that was made through her. She bought every property. Every decision my dad made, the only reason he was so successful was the decisions my mother made. And the fact that she thinks she's dumb and doesn't know how to do anything and is incapable fascinates me. And I think that's a lot of women. We all, you know, we all kind of dumb down and then all of a sudden we kind of think we're dumb. And then all of a sudden we don't do anything. Meanwhile, we're making all the decisions.
Yeah. And it's a shame because at the end of the day, a lot of people go through life and they don't reach their full potential, right? It's like, there's a meme that I saw that was like, the most valuable place in the world is a cemetery because of all the ideas that like went with those people. And like, if they would have actually built those things, think of all the value that would have. And 100%. I know for me, like one of my biggest things, like my chip on my shoulder is like, there's more that you could do, keep doing it. And I think it's like important to have that kind of mindset.
I do too. It's growth. Growth mindset is the most successful mindset. I'm 100%. Sorry. Like you, as soon as you stop growing, stop learning, stop wanting to learn, stop wanting, like that's your, if you're, as soon as your brain stops working, you're done. Like yeah. It's your brain and it is, you're right. I mean, it's like, you have to want to keep growing, want to keep learning, want to keep moving forward. If not, you're going to just stay still and die. That's the truth.
100%. But even when you're super aligned with what it is that you want to do and you start the process, there's always going to be challenges, right? Challenges are inevitable. It's never linear, even if it seems that way, especially when you're an entrepreneur, especially when you're pursuing something that you really love. You know, like you love fashion, for instance, right? Yeah. I love food and beverage. Those are the brands that I own in that space. So people assume that like you're just looking at clothing all day or I'm eating and drinking all day, but 99% right. of the job are not those things, right? It's maybe 1 or 2%, but you have to love those things so much that you're willing to do the other things. So 100%. When things come up for you, right? Like certain challenges that might seem like they're so overwhelming, how do you approach challenges? How do you just mindset wise approach things that come up that might not be pleasant?
It's a great point because I think people, you know, no one sees the hard, nobody, you know, they just see you come on happy and no one sees the messages or the crying or the stress or the exhaustion or up till 3 a.m. trying to respond to everybody or my eye twitching or my arm has carpal tunnel. You know what I mean? No one understands, like you said, it's like, they think you're just like, walk away and you don't do anything. So I think you're right. When the, you know, my challenges definitely have been, one is how to handle people, you know, very much how to handle criticism and how to handle, you know, because you, not everybody's going to like you, not everyone's going to understand you. And then we have to, you know, you deal with trolls and with everything else. It could put you in a really negative headspace. Like you have to be really careful. And I think just dealing with the overwhelming of sometimes even wanting more and feeling like everyone isn't doing the job you're, you know, that you're working so hard and not everybody else is at their peak where you're kind of like, come on. And you just want things to happen. And sometimes you want it to happen faster and they don't. And truly my constant mindset is trying to remember it's a journey, to be honest with you. Like that, why am I rushing to the end? Like, you know what I mean? Why am I trying to get to the end? It's like, try to enjoy where I am right now. And I always try to like take a beat, you know, when I'm really overwhelmed or like with, I start to, you know, realize that I need to separate myself. I need to compartmentalize, you know what I mean? So like with messages, when I'm having a hard time, now I know I can't read that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I have it now, my assistant or somebody else, I'm like, you read all the comments. You look through it because I need to be in a good headspace and I want to feel positive and, you know, because it's coming at me. You guys can read it and not feel offended where I do. You know what I mean? So I think it's like, you know, making sure that you're protecting your mental health and making sure that you're feeling good and you're taking breaks. Self-care is huge to me. I make sure to get that massage or get that PT, or I have to have lunch with a friend that makes me laugh. You know what I mean? To kind of just remember, like, it's not a big deal. Like, we got this. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to like shake it off, remove yourself, take a break. And I think when you take care of yourself, it calms you. You know what I mean? And I think once you're calm, you can see things a bit more clearly. So that's usually what I do, is a little self-care, to be honest.
Have you always had a positive mindset, or has it been something that you've had to learn along the journey?
You know what's really funny? My husband John yesterday said to me, and I did not realize this, you guys, we were looking something up and my blood type is B positive. And we were like, and John's like, you were born for that. Like, we were like laughing. I was like, oh my God, it's in my blood. It makes sense. I was like, oh my God. And I have always been very upbeat, very positive. And I think because I grew up in a home that there was a lot of drama and a lot of sadness. And I felt like I needed to be the happy one. I needed to make sure I was taking care of everybody. And I always had to make sure, like, I always wanted it to be okay. And I'd be like, you know, it's gonna be okay. And I'd be like, always, I was always the happy, positive. My sister had a lot of, she was very overweight, you know, we look very different. And that was a very hard thing for her. And there was always a lot of weird jealousy and anger. Like, it was hard at home. And I really had to figure out a way of being happy in the drama and in the chaos. And I think I always chose positive. I was always I've never been mean to anyone. Like, I will never understand not letting someone sit at the table, you know, even little kids who are like, you can't sit. Like, I have never done that. Like, I don't understand mean. I don't understand, you know, making somebody feel uncomfortable. I am all about making sure you feel seen, heard, and loved and respected in my presence. Like, that's all I care about. So I think I was kind of born with it. And I think I became an expert because of my circumstance.
And I think what's great is that you learned through your circumstances, right? I feel like we all experience things on a daily basis, but sometimes we sort of just let life happen to us, but we're not like sitting back at the end of the day and trying to extract anything from it. Whereas with you, it seems like, you know, even as a child, there were a lot of challenges, but you really sort of like got the juice, right? You squeezed the juice out of it and you really learned valuable lessons, which you now are still, you know, applying to your life every single day.
Like, I really do. I think those, you know, as a kid, you know, we can go back and we can constantly hate our parents, blame our parents, point fingers, say they didn't do the job. Listen, I don't blame my parents. Both my parents, you know, it was hard. And I think they were human. And I think they were doing the best they could with what they had. And I can't imagine being a woman with a man who's cheating all the time and not coming home and you're in a different, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of give my mom a little grace now, becoming a mother and a wife and understanding how completely difficult that is and what a sacrifice it is. And I could understand, I can really appreciate her sacrifice now for me to make sure I was happy. And I refuse to not honor that. So my mom sacrificed her happiness to ensure mine, and I'm not going to let her down.
That's amazing. That's why you're happy every day, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I could cry just because, you know, yesterday she said she was worthless and she just wanted to die. And to have anyone feel that way is just not okay. Like, it's just not okay.
No, absolutely. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people. And I feel like, I mean, just looking at statistics, right? The rates of depression rise every single year. You know, everyone now pretty much suffers from some sort of anxiety, or at least, right? Believed, like, title it as anxiety. And loneliness.
You see, Katie Couric just came out with an article with the Surgeon General. Loneliness is equivalent to smoking 2 packs of cigarette a day.
Well, yeah, because having a sense of community is one of the most, like, if you look at the blue zones.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest things that, you know,
everything
that you have. But another thing with loneliness is, yeah, 100%. But even with loneliness, you could be with people, but still feel lonely if you're not with the right people.
You got to be. That's why I'm always like, set your boundaries, and you should have, you should be respected and you should feel loved, and like, make sure people fit into your life and that they treat you well. Because, you know what you can do. Why are you accepting anything less?
Now, how do you handle situations where maybe you have somebody in your life that maybe has been in your life for many years, so there's some sort of sentimental connection, but you realize in time that they maybe aren't the best person to have in your life. Either they're negative. Yeah. Yeah.
I've had a few. And it's whether it was a mom or an older, you know, an old friend, where it's drama. I'm not good with a lot of drama. Like, I don't like the victim act. I'm always like, you can put into action anything. Like, I don't like this constantly. And then you don't do anything to help yourself. That really bothers me. Yeah. So when it's constant drama, and these are like beautiful, hot, fun, amazing. And when we're drunk and laughing and having fun, it's great. But I don't want to be drunk till 4 a.m. carrying you out, that you're cheating on your boy. Like, I hate all that stuff. Like, I am very straight up. I'm very honest. I like to feel good. I like to have fun, but I don't put up with any of that.
What sign are you? I'm so curious.
I was literally really? Just going to ask her that.
Capricorn, January 6th.
That's why my mom connects with you so much, even digitally, because she's a Capricorn as well. She's January 16th.
Oh my God, tell her I'm the 5th. That's amazing.
I know. I feel the Capricorn energy for sure.
Yeah, we're straight up, and someone said, and it's the quote that I put, because it makes me laugh every time, saying like, I'm as sweet as can be until you press my motherfucker button.
Exactly.
It's so true. It's like, you push me to a point. Like, I am super nice, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah. Nor should you be.
I'm super nice, but I am confrontational. You know what I mean? Like, I will, you screw me over, you're going to hear about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not scared.
No, and that's how it should be, because if you let people walk all over you, they're not going to respect you, right? No. Like, a lot of times people feel like, oh, I'll be accommodating, it's a friend or a family member. But if you let that behavior persist long periods of time, that person's not going to have any respect for you. And then you're going to slowly lose respect for yourself.
Yeah. You're showing people how to treat you.
Yeah.
So whatever you accept, that's what you're saying you accept.
Totally.
Great.
Now, you're a mom of two, and obviously growing up in the age of social media, having direct access to all of these apps and comparing yourself, are there any things that you instill in your kids? Because I'm sure, you know, confidence issues, and there's a lot of problems that we didn't have to deal with when we were younger.
Thank God. I can't even imagine having social media, to be honest with you, when we were kids. Yeah. Like, the thought of everyone at a party and you weren't invited, like, honestly, like, think about that when you're young. Like, that is really scary. I have an 11 and a 13-year-old, 6th and 7th grade. And it's interesting. They both have phones. My 13-year-old does Snapchat how they all kind of communicate. And then Instagram, he has it just because I'm on and he watched, but he does not post anything. Like, he doesn't look. Thank God I have two boys. So it is a little bit different in that sense of, they're not as, you know, like, my oldest doesn't care, hates being on camera, like, doesn't know what's going on, doesn't look at Instagram, like, he doesn't care, which is great. The little one, he's super tech savvy and he's like, but it's interesting. Neither one of them are obsessed with social media. And I don't know if it's because I do it all the time, honestly. And I'm always on. And I think they're kind of like, you know, but this is the truth. Yesterday, my 13-year-old, mom, I'm so proud of you. You've been working so hard. And I was like, thank you. And literally having your kid see the hard work you've put in. Like he was like, mom, I can't believe, he's getting excited looking at the numbers and and he's kind of like, you've worked so hard for this. And I'm like, I know, it shows you can do it. You know what I mean? And seeing them be so happy, so positive, they are the nicest kids. We instill, I don't care so much about them being on the phone as I do about respect and kindness. And you know, that's where I'm like, you're disrespectful. The phone, you're done. You know what I mean? Or you're not kind to somebody. We're done. He's on the phone or he's looking like, it's funny. I trust them. And I think sometimes over helicoptering isn't great. I think when you're constantly telling them no, you want it more. And I personally am like, we have a snack drawer full of candy. They never go in it. They can watch TV on their phones anytime. They're not on them. It's bizarre. So I kind of think the more parents are constantly yelling at their kids, trying to take it away, the more they're jonesing for it. I feel like when it's available, it's not as interesting. So, but I do think social media, you know, my husband's tech. So we can search every single history. We make sure we know exactly. We have to be able to grab your phone at any time and look through it. We have to be able to see the messages, read what's going on. But we also give them a certain amount of trust because I do think it's important.
It's very important. We grew up with like the best parents, thankfully. And they also parents first, but also friends. And we never really felt the need to rebel because if there was anything that we were ever interested in, even if it, you know, wasn't something that you're supposed to necessarily be doing as a kid, rather than most kids that, you know, want to do it for that reason, you could have like an open conversation about it. And I feel like,
I think it's the smartest, right? Wouldn't you do the same? Like, I kind of want my kid told me as soon as his first kiss, he came to tell me, like, he feels open and safe. I'm like, I'm not going to yell at you. Like, this is normal. You are going to try things. Like, I get it. Like, this is real life. Things are going to, and I say technology, taking technology away is ridiculous because the future is only going to be more and more tech. So to take it away and have kids not understand what it's, you know, how to be on an iPad or how to maneuver all of that and learn how to have some self-control, I think is actually worse than taking everything away. And then the second, like our friend's kid comes over and it's like, he's never eaten. He's staring like a zombie at the TV. I mean, you're kind of like, are you okay? And my kids are out playing, like they're not even looking. So I'm like, I think there's something to you being somewhat cool, to be honest.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And understanding that they're children, they're going to do things. And wouldn't it be better for you to know? I'd rather know.
For sure. And it's all about balance as well, right? I think if you're like too strict on either end, that could also be, you know, it could backfire.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. And I think you have to be strict a little bit too. You know what I mean? I do think they have to respect you and fear you a little. I do.
For sure. Again, you listen to your gut, right? Your gut always knows what's right. And even in business, that's something I wanted to ask you about. How much do you depend on your intuition? Because I feel like oftentimes if you start a project or if you know that there's a certain path for you, that comes from your gut. But then if other people get involved or if that project grows, then there's other cooks in the kitchen. And sometimes they might not agree with the direction your gut is telling you to take. So I'm curious, how much do you depend on your intuition when you get a really strong gut feeling about a direction to take? Do you usually follow that or, you know, how do you balance other people's opinions as well?
So truly, there have been, I would say it's funny, significantly two or three times where I remember when we first started this, I had a meeting with somebody who was a manager, very big reality stars and influencers, whatever. And he basically was like, you need to change. Like, this is not how it works. And he was like, you need to do two separate things. And he was going on. I'm like, and I'm like, no, that does not make sense to me. I was like, you think I have time to be doing two different things? Like, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, you're talking about reality stars. I'm a mom. I'm talking about something completely different. I'm not selling stupid shit. I'm talking about like getting your life back together. I was like, my intuition was stick to one account to do that. Like, I remember thinking he has so much experience, but I was like, that's not my audience. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I stuck to my gut and now it's funny. He watches everything. He's probably like, it's hilarious. And then another time has been just with content and with things, you know, everybody wants you to do a certain thing. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to be viral. Everybody wants this. And I don't follow any of that. There is no analytics. There is no reason why I post at what time. I post whatever the hell I want. I post it when I want. I write what I want. I follow my gut, whatever feels right. Where somebody's like, oh, you should have put it. I'm like, no, didn't feel right. So yes, even my husband now is starting to be like, well, you should change this and you should do this. And I was like, I know what I'm doing. I was like, when it feels good, I have to trust my gut on it. And so even with a manager who something with deals, and I was like, put my foot down and I was like, I understand what you're saying. but my gut is saying this and I'm betting on me. So either you're in or you're out, but I'm going to do what I want to do. You have to stick to your gut.
Yeah. And sorry to interrupt, but I think that's so important, especially during COVID, there was a lot of cancel culture. So I feel like people on the internet really had this pressure to talk about things that the masses wanted to hear about or please everyone. And you lose your voice in all of that. So it's really refreshing to see someone just post what they want, not care, know that some people are just not your audience and that's okay. You don't need to please everyone.
Okay. And yeah. It's like, and I hate all the curated stuff. It's like, I don't follow that. I follow motivation. I follow like really normal people. Like, it's funny. I don't follow celebrities. I don't like reality stars. I don't like big influencers. Everything's so curated. Everything's so fake. The same people are selling the exact same product at the exact same. It's like the Nordstrom sale, the Ritual vitamins, the You're kind of like, okay, we know you're getting paid. So it's all bullshit. Like yeah. I hate all of that. So even when everyone's like, you need to push more, you need to do this. I was like, nope. That's not what I do. I don't want people wasting their money. I want people like, I am here. I'm happy to shop and do it. Somebody wants it. Great. But I was like, this isn't about pushing things. It's about lifting people up. And it's about real life. I was like, I want to get back to real and stop all the bullshit.
And it's about being authentic. And I think that's like the most important thing in any endeavor, right? With social media, even if you're building a brand, I feel like the issue now is like, people all just try to like crowd into the same exact arena. They're doing it.
Something's working. Everyone starts copying and everyone starts using your work. And you're like, but you didn't even think like, what's the story behind it? What are you talking
100%.
About? You know what I mean? And you're so right.
Yeah. And it's all about the intention behind it, right? Like, why did you choose to start this? And I feel like the world would be a better place if everyone just like was led by their authenticity, right? Because we all have a different angle. We all see the world differently. So why not focus on that?
And it's just like, you know, it would give everyone a chance at being happy because social media, you know, the bullshit that we're watching, the filters, this, you know, people only posting their, you know, yacht on a trip and not posting any tears or you looking like shit or the morning or the kids. It's so not real. And then you're living up to something that is not real. Those people have credit card debt. They have this, they're probably unhappily married and you're living up to something that does not even exist. So you'll never be happy because it'll never be attainable. So you're working for something that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist. So you'll never be satisfied.
That's the issue. That's, I think, one of the downsides of social media is this comparison culture. And I think most people, even if you're not using social media as a business, even if you're just posting regularly, you're typically posting the best parts of your life. If you're on a trip, if you're like having a crazy experience and then other people see that.
Amazing, right? Yeah. Like, you look amazing or whatever. No one's posting a tear, like crying or, oh, my husband lost his job. And now we have to really bet on, you know what I mean? Like no one posts the real stuff. And then when you realize, how can anyone ever be happy if we're all just competing against something that isn't real? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And as a viewer, it's important to remember that, you know, hopefully you have, you know, more authentic people like yourself to follow. But if you're following people who are a little bit more calculated with what it is that they promote, understanding that there's more behind the camera and we all are living lives that have challenges and triumphs. And that's part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we can all kind of realize we're all human and we're all just doing the best we can. It would be a much kinder world. You know what I mean? And I think everyone just forgets. Everyone's so selfish and you forget that other people are going through a lot too. And I even say that in marriages. I know a lot of husbands that have to have the big money. They got to really make the money, but they're not really happy. They probably would have been happier being the gym teacher at a school. You know what I mean? Like they love working with kids, but like they couldn't because they have to support this whole family and this lifestyle that's expected of him. And maybe he's not really that happy. Like we forget that we're all not always living our truth. You know what I mean? It's like when you give people the grace and the, like even just seeing my husband, you know, when he was, you know, when he was let go blindsided 2 months ago, honestly, it was like, he became a different person. I was like, oh my God, he's like smiling again. He's around. Like I didn't realize how stressed he was. Like, I didn't realize what was going, you know what I mean? Because you're in it and it's 20. And then it was like, now he couldn't be happier. We have so much more time together. Now he's helping me. Now we're a team. And actually we're laughing all the time. We're spending time together. The kids are seeing us together all the time. And I'm like, we're so much happier. So it doesn't always have to be. And like, he's better at the dishes in the home. I'm better working. Like, and that's okay. Like let's normalize men helping. Let's normalize all of us living our best lives and helping each other live our truths. Because the truth is he's happier working with me. And I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't we work together and be like, why wouldn't we do this?
And it's interesting how things happen organically, right? Like in the moment, it might seem like a disappointment. And then eventually you see like God really has a plan and this had to happen. Absolutely. We're all meant to live different lives, right? I think there are a lot of societal pressures of like, this is the path. This is what you're supposed to do. And I think there are people who definitely possess stronger leadership qualities. And they're like, no, that's not going to work for me. I'm going to bet on myself, as you said. But there are a lot of people who do succumb to that. And I think that understanding and realizing that there isn't just one way to live life, right? We all could have our own versions of success is like the most important thing.
So important. And there's a lot of men that like being home. I know a lot of women that the man's at home and the woman's working and they're really happy. And it's like, can we just normalize everyone just doing whatever they want? Like whatever
makes works for you. Yeah.
100%.
Yep. Now I'm curious, are there any books, documentary series that have helped you on your journey? Like whether it's mindset, whether it's business, whether it's just anything that really gave you a lot of value.
You know, what's funny. I like resilience stories, like House in the Sky. It's like the most incredible book. If you haven't read it, her story is beyond. She was she's the most gorgeous. She was a reporter. She was like in the suit. She went somewhere, got kidnapped by one of the African countries, one of their, really gangs. She was held for 18 months. When I tell you the story of honestly, you can't put the book down. And then you're like, you can never complain or ever again say that you can deal or you can't handle it. Like when you realize what a person can really withstand and survive, you realize that the human spirit is unbreakable, just unbreakable.
100%.
It's an incredible book. Like I like books like that, things that people have survived. I don't know why I find it fascinating. That mindset of never letting go. You know what I mean? Like you're going to make it no matter what. I find that fascinating.
Absolutely. Cause I think we also live in a culture where it's just easy to give up or one thing happens in your day and that your entire life is over. And I think
Normalized misery. We've normalized being unhappy. We've normalized unhappy marriages, hating your husband, making fun, drinking to forget your problems. Like we've normalized misery. We've forgotten what happiness is and respect and loving each other and actually smiling and being positive and actually doing something you love. Like we've completely neglected it. It's bizarre.
Yeah. And that's why I think, bring it back. Yeah. And even going back to social media and friends and family, taking note of, I'm following this person. Am I happy after I look at these stories? Or I'm hanging around this person a lot, but I come home and I'm miserable. Like taking note of those things that impact or take away from your happiness is also really important.
It's important because if you really think about it, what you're listening to, like I have music that makes me happy. You know, I have music that you feel pumped and there's music that you put on because you feel like crying and you just want to have a cry and you put it on. It just makes us. So it does matter what you're listening to, right? It does affect your mood. What you're reading, it does affect you. So it's like, why wouldn't you be surrounded by people who are nice to you, who are positive? Like, why wouldn't you want to listen to happy music or read, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, everything that surrounds you affects you.
Agreed. And like you said, choose happy.
Choose happy. Why are you putting up with stuff like that you don't need to?
Now, let's say someone wakes up in the morning and they're just feeling horrible. Like the day is already off to a horrible start. What are your top three tips to change that around?
You know, I always say, give yourself grace because I always say there's no torpedo of happiness. Like, of course, we're all going to have hard days. And I'm all about letting it out, cry, stay in bed all day, watch movies, take that day for yourself. I'm all about just not sitting in it, not letting it linger too long where it gets harder to get out of it. I'm all about deadlines. So I'm very much like, if it's a Friday and I'm feeling really, and I just feel like I'm just having a hard time. I'll be like Monday morning, we're back. Like no matter what, I'm going to get up. I'm going to set the alarm. I'm going to make that effort. I'm going to make that, get that walk in because I know walking helps me. I'm going to get that 10 minutes in the sun because I know that helps me. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to make an effort. And usually in the process of making the effort, you start to feel better because you keep getting distracted, right? And you keep the anxiety, the stress, because the water helps, the sun helps. Like little by little, you start to feel better and then you start snapping out of it. That's honestly how it helps me.
And how important is gratitude for you as well? Because I feel like, especially as an entrepreneur, right? We always strive for more, but I find it super important to also still be grateful for what you currently have. So how important is that for you as well? And finding the balance of wanting more, not being content, but still being super grateful for where you currently are.
You know, for me, I really do. Like when I do my 10 minutes of gratefulness every day, I really do. I go outside, I put my face in the sun. You know, sun therapy is a real thing. Like it is really good for you. It shoots neurons on, it wakes you up. You feel warm. You feel like, you know what I mean? I'm all about standing in your power. Like I always like to stand on my own 2 feet and shoulders back. This is insecure. Like this is scared. This isn't doing anything for you. This, stand straight, shoulders back, loud and proud. Like I don't understand. And for me, my 10 minutes of gratitude is a mixture of gratitude and manifestation. So I always give thanks and for everything I have, whether it's health, roof over my head, food, my cup of coffee alone, that would just felt great. You know, that hug with my husband or like that my mom was happy that day, you know, little things that I know are super important. And I just give thanks that I do have stuff. I have the most important things. Then I start asking for what I want. And I'll go into my manifest of you know, I just great, you know, give me the health to keep moving forward, you know, the courage to keep helping people, like just, you know, asking for those moments of, I hope I can make this happen because we can reach more people. We can help more women. You know, it's always like, how can we do more to help? And that's where the manifestation of what you want and that, you know, what you want, where you want to get. But I think it always has to begin with being content, because I think the happiest people are super content. And that's why I always say, you got to find your happy in the hard, because life is 95% hard and complicated and boring and monotonous and whatever. And there's nothing special. Like those special occasions, that 50th birthday, that was once. Like what happened to the other 50 years? Like, you know what I mean? So you got to be able to find that happy in all the hard and the boring and the mundane. You got to still smile somehow, right? So,
and that's why I think having a routine is so important, because even if on a day that you wake up and you're not feeling the best, I think especially on those days, it's important to get in that walk or get in that meditation or talk, like think about everything that you're grateful for, because that's what really gets you out of those lows much quicker.
And routine leads to habit, habit leads to the lifestyle. So you got to get that routine down pat, because it has to be your every day. And then you becomes the habit where you can't go back. So you feel so good. You're like, yeah, I'm not going back there. Like this feels great. And then all of a sudden it becomes your lifestyle. It's not even a choice anymore. It becomes normal to you. And that's where you want to get, you know what I mean? And I agree with you. It's like, you got to just keep, it's like that 5-minute rule. You know what I mean? You just got to keep believing, keep moving forward, because it's worth it. It's worth it.
It totally is. And how do you find, you find yourself speaking to yourself? Because I feel like so many people speak down to themselves, right? Or even if it's jokingly, right? Even if jokingly, like making fun of themselves to like make everyone around them laugh. Whereas yes. I find that like those things could really impact the way that you feel, right? It's called spelling for a reason, right? I mean, you're casting a spell. So how do you speak to yourself even on like a hard day? Like, do you find that words could really help uplift you?
You know, it really, I do believe in positive self-talk. I really do. I do believe in looking in the mirror and just talking to yourself and pumping yourself up. Like if, like at the end of the day, no one's going to sell you the way you are, right? No one's going to believe in you the way you do. Like no one's going to know what you can do, but you know. And I think it's just constantly, even on the hard days, I will remind myself constantly how strong I am. Cause I'm like, I've been through a lot. Like I've gotten through some, like I'm strong. Like I can do this. And then I think it's always giving yourself that grace to know you're worth it. You know, it's going to work out. Like I really am very much on, I'm like, you are smart. Like, I don't think I'm not smart. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm not capable. If anything, I'm frustrated, cause I think I am. And I just want to do more. You know what I mean? So it is about reminding yourself that you are those things. Like, who took it away? Nobody. Like, you're the only one that can take that away. You're the only one that can make yourself feel bad, or, you know what I mean? So I think it is so important to remind yourself. And what I say every single day to myself is, you're smart, you're capable, you're strong, you're beautiful. You can do hard things. Those are my five, things. I know I can do it. And you have to remind yourself daily. You have to.
Yeah. 100%. And those are all great. I love those.
Thank you.
Now, a question that we love to ask all of our guests on this podcast is, if you could sit down and have tea with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why? I have a feeling you're going to have a good answer.
I actually would pick Oprah.
That's who I thought you would choose.
I really respect her. I respect the conversation she has. I respect the way she makes other people feel. I respect that she gets down to the truth. I don't know. I miss Oprah. Like I said, I want my own talk show. I was like, I want it. We've forgotten that feel good information, smart woman. You know, she never had kids. She did her own thing. She's super powerful. She's super smart, super talented. I don't know. I would love to have a conversation with her.
And a lot of resilience with her story as well, especially in the beginning.
I just find her fascinating. I do. Like, she's broken every barrier. She's tough as nails. She's seen it all. And she's still standing and she's happy. She never got married, never had kids, did it her own way. And I really respect that. I just think, I don't know. There aren't a lot of people like her anymore. And I would love to have a conversation with her.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. But I also think you would potentially have a great talk show.
Thank you. That's what we're hoping for.
Is that that's on the
what
horizon? I was going to say, is
that's
that
what I'm manifesting?
I think a book.
And a book sure. as well. Yeah.
That's in the works right now.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's that we're writing right now. And we're hoping to get on a bigger platform to just reach. I just want to see women happy. Yeah. And I think it's possible. I hope we can bring happy back. I think
because you have such genuine intent, it'll really magnify and hopefully a lot of success ahead for you.
I really hope so. So, to God's ears. Yes. Thank you.
Of course. Now, for anyone out there that's going to be listening to this, that wants to learn more about your work, potentially reach out to you, where are the best places to reach you at?
So I'm on Instagram with shop.with.caroline. So shop with Caroline, and TikTok being Caroline, any of those. Instagram, definitely you can DM me. I will definitely see it. You can email, I have a blog, beingcaroline.com, that has all of my fashion, all of the motivation, has everything there. And then we have a YouTube channel where we do motivation and makeup videos. So you can kind of, if any platform, you can reach me on messages, or you can or email me.
Amazing.
That's the best way.
So you're reachable.
I'm reachable. You will find me. I really do respond, and I see everything. So if you really, you know, want to send me a message or something, DM on Instagram, I will see it.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. You definitely motivated both of us. I feel like an extra pep in my step right now. I'm excited to get dressed tomorrow. I'm very excited to get dressed tomorrow.
Stops tomorrow, but I'll just drop it a little bit.
My God, I love you guys. You honestly loved meeting you. Love the conversation. I really appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep putting those voices out there that help support people. It's amazing.
Thanks for joining us on our episode with Caroline. Wow. That was one of the most motivating conversations that I've ever had. Caroline shared so much insight and wisdom with us on the power that we all have in choosing to be happy and finding ways to live our best lives. We often complicate our lives and how we feel, but Caroline reminded us that we can all attain our hopes and dreams and enjoy life in the process. As always, if you have any questions, please email us at podcast@drinkdowntoearth.com. or get in touch with us on Instagram at drinkdte. In the meantime, stay healthy and stay hydrated. Cheers.
Now it's time for you to go out there and do at least one small thing to better your health today.
Always choose to make your life a healthier, happier, and a more down-to-earth place.
Until next time.
Cheers to good health.